Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 17th of August 2017. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, the call number as always is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram account and follow me at Riddle Gerald Quinn. We will shortly be joined by Sherelle Swain of the Next Level Foundation to talk about that foundation, talk about, of course, last week's 5K run, which we did a live broadcast from via Facebook. Fortunately, thankfully enough, Facebook was an option, and I will be posting that broadcast soon. Still had audio for the audio from it. We'll be posting it soon. Of course, tomorrow night, we'll be live from DC Reynolds Bar. Come through if you have a chance to be in the DC area. Come through. I believe the address is 3628 Georgia Avenue, if I'm correct. 3628 Georgia Avenue is the address. If you want to come through, you're in the area. We'll be doing the broadcast around 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock to kick off. Again, it's a place that I frequent from time to time. And certainly I thank them for having us there to do the broadcast. So that will be tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Our On the Road series continues. We are also hoping to be broadcasting live from the for the Power season finale come August 27th. That would be August 27th on a Sunday for the season finale of Power. We're still trying to work that. That still could be in the mix. We're still trying to work that out. But we hope to be broadcasting from a similar location in D.C. We'll let you know details on that as well. But we're going to save the heavy NFL stuff for tomorrow. We have a ton of NFL to do. Season is still, seemingly 3 weeks away. So it's still three weeks away. So, still a while before we get into real serious NFL as far as the regular season. Still have the preseason. Of course, Washington will play against Green Bay Saturday. For the skin fans, and and away we go. Sherelle Swain of the Next Level Foundation, and joining the program.
Hello there. Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's been a long time coming. How long have you been with the, foundation? Sherelle Swain, of course, is the executive director of the Next Level Foundation, hosted the race last week, the 5K run on the Georgetown waterfront, the race where we did our very first live broadcast from. Had a lot of fun out there. The weather was great. Kids seemed like they enjoyed it. And Sherelle was, of course, a big part of that. Was running all over the place. We wanted to do an interview last week, but that was not going to happen. She was just too busy, and we had some internet issues as well. So I'm glad to have her on tonight to talk about the Next Level Foundation. When have you been with the foundation since its inception?
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. really appreciate it. It's great to be on. Sorry last week didn't work out. I'm actually a co-founder of the Next Level Foundation. It's a family foundation that my father and I co-founded in 2009 in Minnesota. And since its inception, we have been doing various athletic events, both through 5Ks, as you were able to participate and see last week, but also through summer camps focused on football and education for youth to learn about the athletic development process and help navigate the challenges that they will face as collegiate athletes. And so we're really focused on scholarship and both helping young high school athletes become collegiate athletes, but also helping non-athletes, especially students who've overcome difficult obstacles with scholarships through a Perseverance scholarship where we award one or two high school graduates per year partial funds to continue their studies in college. And so the 5K was really a benefit to that. We were established in Minnesota, and this was our first event actually in Washington, D.C. And so this event was an opportunity for us to continue our programs and curriculum with youth in D.C. And so we had a summer program at the Merrick Center, which is in Southeast Ward 8, and we worked with third grade through sixth grade youth, and the race had a component where some of the young people were able to participate, and they did their own kids race, which was a fun run of 1 mile, and it was actually, it got pretty competitive at the end because there was only one girl in the race, and she ended up coming out on top, which was really exciting. Everybody was cheering her on towards the finish line. And so that's what we try to promote through our camps, just at building that confidence, making sure that young people have systems of support, and also teaching young people to feel empowered in their thoughts as they are individuals, and teaching them and showing them within themselves how they can help to change and transform society. The race was really great. We had Zico Coconut Water as a major sponsor. We had Sports Market, a sports registration tool that helped us with the event as well. City First Bank, local community bank that really gives back and does a lot of community development, was also there. They gave great capes to all of the kids. Race Packet was the official time manager for the race. So it was a really excellent event that was supported by the community. And, of course, it was great to have you there as well, broadcasting your show live. So thank you for that support.
Yeah, no problem. It was, like I said, I had a lot of fun out there. It was, you know, like I said, great, always great seeing the kids enjoy themselves. The volunteers did a tremendous job of just, you know, making sure things ran smoothly. So certainly thanks to them as well. Talk about the family aspect of this. Yourself, your father, who started the foundation, and your mother, who's a treasurer, are obviously big parts of the foundation. How's that dynamic been working out since you guys started back in 2009? We know sometimes with family businesses, things can get tricky with the money, you know, relationships, always business and money, business and family always don't mix. How have you guys, been able to avoid some of those pitfalls that come with family and business?
Well, I think one, family, it's not the easiest thing to work with your family, and a lot of families, I think, wouldn't be able to kind of create the programs and work as closely as we do together. But I think what drives us is the mission. We're all really dedicated and committed to helping the next generation of youth reach their goals, and I think that we really believe in a positive mindset and and the ability for an individual to have the power over decisions that they make, and kind of continuing to teach that through our curriculum and program, and seeing the way that we can impact students and their families. And when you see that progress and it happens, you see that it was worth all of that work. So it's definitely a whole entire family effort. I think that we all pitch in when needed, and also based on kind of our background and skill set. So for example, like you asked about my mother as a treasurer, she has a background in payroll and finance, so that works for her to support in that area. And then my father as a founder and a former NFL player for the Vikings, the Steelers, and the Dolphins, it works for him to, you know, stay abreast for NAACP rules and regulations. And I always say that, not NAACP, NCAA. There's a lot going on in the country right now. NCAA regulations. And then just, you know, relay that information back to coaches and students, and maintain those relationships in a way where that translates to opportunities for young people to continue to compete in D1, D2, or D3 athletics with the support of those relationships with the NFL and different college teams and the NCAA. I think that has allowed us to get, you know, a lot of support and excitement from both, like, Minnesota Vikings fans, but also, like, Vikings as an organization themselves, and the NFL has a really helpful foundation. And Saturday this weekend, for example, we're hosting a camp. I'm actually back out in Minnesota right now, and we'll be hosting our football educational camp this Saturday, where students 9th through 12th grade can participate for free. In the morning, they'll go over an athletic development program portion and kind of like a self-esteem motivation workshop. And then we'll transition to the field in the afternoon, where it will be a lot of fun drills, competition. We'll help them with like some speed and timing drills and station, and just end with a fun scrimmage. But and then the students will get t-shirts, shorts, breakfast, lunch for participating. And so, you know, we're constantly in communication with one another, and it's just kind of like you keep moving and have the mission drive you. So I think that that's really helpful in working with family, just to stay focused on the mission.
It's one thing to flourish as an organization. It's another thing to just get started. What did you find to be the biggest obstacle in just getting you guys' feet off the ground back in 2009?
Well, just to apply to be a nonprofit in general, I think is a lot of is a test within itself. I think that after you get over that hump, then that application process within itself helps you to understand, like, you know, what your calendar will be like. And so we knew then that we'd be doing football camps, that we'd be doing 8-week programs after school, that we would be giving out a scholarship. And we've stayed kind of true to those programs, I guess, on things that you might not anticipate, or like the additional resources that you might have to kind of secure and manage in order to continue that and build capacity as an organization. And I think that's always the biggest challenge, is to be moving towards that growth where you're able to, move in stride with the amount of, and the quality and the capacity of students that you're able to support, right? And so as we grow, then, you know, we also need to be growing with resources to serve. And so just continuing to have a strategic plan in place and different systems and procedures that help support that mission. I think as a business, transitioning from a startup to a small business to, you know, a mid-sized nonprofit, is just having those systems in place to be able to continue to make the capacity to serve in a capacity that's strong to the community.
How about, so now talk about, you mentioned the Perseverance Award mm-hmm. for high school students. How does that work? How does that work? What has to happen for a student to qualify for that particular award, that particular scholarship?
Well, a student to meet the qualifications are a student must be a graduating senior from their high school. It is a non-merit based scholarship, so they do not have to have a certain GPA requirement. But we do look at extracurricular activities, letters of recommendation, and we look at their transcript. But mostly what we're looking for is their story. And what they're telling us is they're kind of explaining a difficult obstacle that they've had to overcome and how they've used that to propel their education forward. And so that program is really wonderful because we get to work with really resilient students with a lot of grit, and also, in a really transitional time in life where a lot of support is needed because all of our scholars have been first-generation students. And so their backgrounds vary from, first-generation, actually, American students to maybe first-generation in their families to go to college. But we have actually our first Perseverance Scholar graduating this December, and he actually was in a house fire while he was a junior in high school, and as a result of that, his family had to move to really the neighboring city of St. Paul and then get to Minneapolis, which is about 45 minutes every day, and so he had to take 2 buses just to get to school every day, leave his house at 5 o'clock in the morning. Still was never late, still was committed to all his extracurricular activities, still picked up a job to support his family with financial needs that they have, and now is this year graduating from the University of Nazarene in Kansas, University of Mid-America Nazarene in Kansas. And it's just great to see him grow, and also he also played football there throughout those 4 years, so his football scholarship didn't cover all of his expenses, but the Perseverance Scholarship was able to help him round out all the costs that you have when you're in college. And also he has a family, a wife and a child now. So, we get to work with these incredible young people who are so resilient, who are so strong, and definitely you can see already that they will be the ones to pay it forward in the future. And so I know that the kids that we work with understand what it means to give back, understand what philanthropy is, understand that there's a requirement for them in society to be a leader. And that's what the Perseverance Scholarship, I would say, kind of represents. And that's going to be something that we definitely continue to grow, especially with the support and mentorship that we're able to provide the scholars who are a part of that program.
What about your alumni? The program has been around now, for relatively 8 to 9 years. How about the kids who graduate, the students who've gone through the foundation? Do you find them coming back to as volunteers, as contributors? How's the alumni association for the foundation?
Absolutely. I think like tomorrow at our camp, for example, there was a student named Lamont that was a part of our athletic development program. And he went on to play football and graduate from the University of Minnesota. And so throughout that process, we were there. And then, after he wanted to try an opportunity for some professional teams, but it turned out that he ended up playing in the Arena League. And tomorrow, for example, he'll be one of the coaches at our camp. And so there's things like that all the time. The students also come often to our golf tournaments or 5Ks or come back and speak to the kids or, you know, work with them on a coaching capacity. I think what we're focused on building up right now is an opportunity for like a pipeline of mentors for them to be matched up with students who are currently in our athletic development program or as a part of our Perseverance Scholarship program. So everything is definitely full circle.
Do you think that when the program first, the foundation was first started, was there another foundation that you guys looked at and said, hey, we're trying to be like them? Was there a blueprint, or from the start, have you guys been trying to carve your own niche and really try to stand out among, you know, amongst so many foundations and community-based programs? So is there a program, are there programs out there, a foundation out there that you look at and say, hey, you know, let's try this, or let's take from this, take from that, in terms of ideas and, you know, structures and logistics?
That's a great question. You know, from the beginning, a lot of our programs were kind of replications of things that my father had already been doing in the community. And so through that, you know, there's a lot of kind of like collaboration and just relationships that have been built in general, where folks might call and say, hey, you know, my son, he's a junior, he's looking at these schools, would you be willing to talk to him, would you be willing to train him, would you be able to take him out to the field, would you be willing to look at his highlight film, you know, and then, you know, the conversation always comes up where, well, how are their grades, you know, and so it's just a full picture of, it's just so many things, and there's so many community resources that tie into the success of a student, whether that be a teacher or a church or a family member or their coach or, you know, maybe even one of their teammates or a friend, a parent of a friend or an organization like our own. We definitely work to get our kids in the college camps when students are invited, you know, like their sophomore or junior years, to attend those. So those are definitely great resources. And then, you know, there's like EJ Henderson, he's a former Minnesota Viking, and he and he's also from Maryland and played at the University of Maryland College Park.
He's a good player.
Yeah, you know EJ Henderson. And so organization that used to be just a training facility for players that we were sending a lot of our players to called Game Speed. And at Game Speed, it just was like another opportunity for players who were trying to take their game to the next level, whether that be college or pros, to go to train, to have access and exposure to professional athletes. And I think that that's kind of what it's about, is like a combination of resources and tools. And a combination and pool of folks who are interested in supporting, you know, a young person's advancement and development, because oftentimes, especially without the proper structure or appropriate guidance in the home, it's just needed. And then, you know, a student gets to school and they are on the football team or basketball team or playing a collegiate sport, and perhaps at that point, you know, the coach or someone might not be in their best interest, and they might need a little bit more support navigating which classes to choose, or understanding that them getting their degree is equally as important if they were paying or if they're on scholarship, and still understanding what their options are post-college, even what their options are post-college, even after even if they don't continue playing professionals or sports at that level.
Yeah, you mentioned post college. You mentioned even post high school. It's
post
one thing
high school,
to
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's one thing to get to high school. I mean, excuse me, to get through high school, get to college. Do you guys, you know, when the athletes or scholars get to college, are you tracking their progress even through college? Is that a part of your, like, data collection as far as, you know, some things that, hey, you know, this person doesn't get through college or that person doesn't get to college, then, you know, what happened? Is that part of, you know, the process? Is that part of your process throughout for the foundation?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, that data has helped us to understand the importance of having more mentors, especially say that we have a lot of players who are perseverance and athletic development program. And so, you know, as a first-generation student, you need a lot of supports. And so just kind of realizing that our abilities are limited, and then really helping to understand how we can build enough community resources and support for that child or for that college student for them to be supported throughout that process, because typically kind of students who aren't graduating or making it all the way through are not really making it past sophomore year sometimes.
You talk about building community resources.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, especially with the demographic of student that we serve, like, you know, a first-generation student whose parents might not be able to help talk them through different conversations or experiences that they might face in a college setting.
You talk about community resources. How is the foundation going about developing relationships within the community, as far as, you know, it's one thing to get sponsors. Obviously, you need, you know, foundation doesn't need money, but just developing those relationships within the community. How's that been for the foundation since its inception? And how, you know, what new ways do you guys continue to, like, try to, like, you know, endear yourself to the community?
And so you're asking what kind of ways that we make relationships with different organizations that might be aligned, like, mission of our organization?
No, I'm just talking about within the communities, like within the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. Even even beyond the sponsors and beyond, you know, beyond those relationships with the sponsors and the schools.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I think that there's a lot of ways, just like every day, for example, like I was really inspired to build next level to DC just with my, with mentoring that I've been doing in my neighborhood. And so, I just see in my neighborhood, the Columbia Heights neighborhood of DC that, young people in my neighborhood are experiencing a lot of trauma. And so, as a neighbor, you see, you know, a 12-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old, you know, really young people in the neighborhood unable to get to school on time or truant from school or getting in fights. And you know, you build those relationships to try to help them early on understand, like, you know, what's going on, and you know, people are here to help, and you have choices, you don't have to make bad decisions. And then when you kind of see how much of that's going on, you know, as a community leader, for myself, I can speak that I feel like, you know, it's natural to check in with the school to see what kind of community after school, you know, after school extracurricular activities they might have, or check in with the rec center to see, you know, what's available after school between these times, or check in with the Latin American Youth Center, or, you know, just try to, like, make opportunities just for neighbors to have a block party or to meet at the park on a Sunday. You know, like, all those little things make a difference to have that camaraderie and connection within a community. and as a community leader, or envisioning myself as one, that's definitely something that I try to do just independently, like without the next level, just acting in a way where you know that, you know, your existence matters in your community.
What's the next step for the foundation? Right now, you got your locations are, of course, your locations are in D.C. and your home base in Minneapolis. Are there any other branches around the country that you're looking at to expand to?
We're expanded with camps. We've done camps in Miami, Florida, and we've done after-school programming in Texas. And so in the future, we may continue to do one-off community events there. However, right now, we're looking to serve as many students as we can, as best as we can, in Minnesota and D.C.
Are the colleges and high school, are the colleges and high schools receptive to the program? Do they really do? I mean, is it, as far as trying to, you know, deal with the students and things of that nature, are they? You find yourself trying to having a difficult time with reaching out to colleges and high schools for the students, or is that a smooth process?
You know, I think it really depends on the program. Sorry to interrupt. I know it really depends on the program.
Okay.
A lot of the schools that, you know, they might add, may call them, and they may be very receptive because they know the caliber of students that we've previously recommended to them. And so, you know, you have that reputation with that relationship. But I think that, and I do try to, like, you know, track opens and stuff, but I think that, yeah, coaches are receptive because coaches want talented players. And so, you know, when you're in the pipeline to help them supply that, I think that that's something of interest because it's helping ultimately them build their own programs.
Where do you see the foundation in, say, 5 years? Like, what vision do you have of what it's going to look like?
I think in 5 years that we'll definitely have enough of our athletic development program participants and perseverance scholars completed with college to serve as mentors to our current perseverance scholars and athletic development program participants. I also see a stronger pipeline of community leaders involved with the organization in a capacity to really empower students through different events and even as mentors, and just continued strengthened relationships with colleges throughout the country to help students who complete our programs or who enter to compete for one of our scholarships awarded with more support to attend college, and having those students see as many opportunities as possible as far as experiences and also allowing them to get through that process, navigating it with more ease and more access.
We both know when an athlete, high school, college, or otherwise, reaches a certain level, that they become a target, whether it's, you know, yes men, boosters, agents. How has, you know, when you guys get those rare athletes who reach that level to where, you know, they're in demand, what does, is there like some type of coaching as far as dealing with, you know, an agent, or dealing with, you know, a college recruitment, the pressures that come with that, dealing with AAU, which we know can use these guys left and right, football and basketball, especially basketball, Is there, you know, are there programs and kind of like sessions that these players can be coached about and kind of trained to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. One organization that really specializes in that is Pursuit, and they're a firm, an athletic-based firm that's focused on financial literacy for professional and college athletes. And so that's definitely someone that I would recommend to connect those caliber of athletes with, and especially to avoid a lot of the hurdles that that sought-after athletes experience after reaching a certain level, and then especially to avoid the kind of consequences that they face having, when they don't have the right tools, knowledge, information, education necessary to be able to jump that hurdle. And then, they might find themselves in a pit, and that happens too often. And so Pursuit that focuses on financial literacy. And I've had the opportunity to collaborate with their founder and then Io Ammo, who from Hoop for All Foundation, that was a partner of the Next Level Foundation for the Back to School 5K, also works for their Pursuit. And so I'm happy that organizations like them also are around that specifically deal with supporting athletes, all-star athletes in that capacity.
Yeah, because I just see a lot, see a lot of, athletes fall through the traps dealing with those types of pressures, which, leads to all kinds of pitfalls. So I think that that's definitely something that's important moving forward as they go to college and or beyond. We mentioned earlier in the program, jokingly but not jokingly, of course, about everything, things that were going on in the world, especially dealing with the NFL, Kaepernick, the brain trauma, CTE, some of the stuff that the NFL is dealing with, off the field stuff, the domestic violence cases. Has any of that, and there are less parents, I would say, especially mothers who are allowing their kids to even play football, has any of that had an effect on the foundation, considering that, let's be honest, your dad was ex-professional football player, so his football is in terms of the sport, it is a football-driven, you guys are a football-driven organization in terms of what's the main sport. Have you guys felt the after effects of any of the stuff that's going on within the NFL?
Yeah, definitely, especially with the NFL. They're really big on the concussion awareness and making the sport safer in general. And so, for our camp, for example, all the coaches need to be certified in proper tackling techniques. And the kids are not able to, put their head first in with the tackles. And they have to learn all those things early to make sure that it is a safer sport. And they really drilled down on that. And they did choose a couple former players to be ambassadors to go around and train different youth teams on those proper techniques. And my father is one of those ambassadors as well. So he's able to train our coaching staff when we do camps and are continuing to promote the sport in this way. And definitely understand that it can be dangerous. But I think that with the proper measures and then teaching the right techniques, that it can be a much safer sport.
Yeah, no question. In my research, I was, I've read some stuff about your father, just, teaching, being real big on teaching proper technique and proper tackling, just as concussions can happen at any time on the football field, it can happen in one play, it can happen in a split second. But I do believe that with concussions cut down significantly with pop, just pop tackling. I think it's kind of, you know, people, you know, come up with helmets, things of that nature. But I think the proper tackling techniques is a big part of what of the concussions that, you know, that occur in football, period. So I think I was happy to see that when, you know, in reading about your father in terms of how just being, you know, mindful of the kind of techniques that's being being taught and things of that nature, and then especially at a younger age. I mean, even, you know, you see these youth football leagues, you know, kids are playing football, you know, younger and younger. So that is, I think that will go a long way in terms of prevention of, you know, concussions and CTE and things that these guys are dealing with post, you know, in their post NFL career or just in general, you know, with concussions even in high school. So I think that was a big part, you know, definitely a big part of what your father was saying, what your father was talking about, or well, in terms of what I read. One last one, before I let you go. Do you think that, you know, if you could do anything differently or add anything in terms of the 5K race, what are you looking for? I know you're probably already thinking about next year and how, you know, how you can not change up things but add things to it. What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts on the 5K race in terms of how it came off and that event overall?
You know me too well. Well, I first of all, I was just so grateful that it did not rain. And so firstly, I was just grateful for it, like, that the weather turned out, because it was not supposed to be that way, and it turned out to be, and I was grateful. Secondly, I think that, you know, we were working with a population of students who was coming all the way from Southeast. That's quite a trek. It was difficult to confirm where I wanted the race in the first place, because I was kind of going back and forth between Anacostia or Georgetown as the race locations, and ended up choosing the Georgetown. And I think next year we'll have had more opportunities to partner with high school teams. And so I'm interested in partnering with a team other than football, and a girls team. So I'm looking at a girls maybe soccer team or a girls cross country team for a high school sport, and then also a boys team, and so having them participate, and then just continuing to get more involvement and support from runners and community partners. But in general, I was happy we were able to give school supplies away to all of the students who were there at the race, and then were able to give the rest away to students in the community. And so that was the number one initiative, is to be able to get students excited about back to school and get the community to understand their role in supporting students throughout the school year. And in that vein, I was very happy that we were able to carry out that mission. And so next year, yeah, I'm going to be looking at the possibility of doing it in Anacostia. I really like that space, and I feel like it speaks more to the students we serve. And also, I'm looking to get a couple high school, a girl boy high school team involved that will be programming with me.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it, and, you know, we will definitely make a point to be there. It was great to be a part of the first one. Looking forward to the next one. Sherelle Swain, Executive Director of the Next Level Foundation. We'd like to thank her for joining us. Plug the foundation as far as donations, in terms of the website that anybody can donate to, and what, you know, website, the foundational website. So, you know, give that to the audience.
Thanks again, Quinn. Thanks for having us. So thank you. Please check us out online. We're www.thenextlevelfoundation.org. We're also on Instagram at The Next Level. And we are on Facebook at The Next Level MN. And you can check us out on Twitter at The Next Level MN. Definitely look to support us in any way that you can. On our website, we have a donation page. And again, the website's www.thenextlevelfoundation.org.
Sherelle, thanks for joining us, and we certainly look forward to the next time speaking to you, and also the next event as well. We'll definitely plug it over my website and over our Facebook pages and what have you. You can find, and you will be able to find those, to my audience, you'll be able to find those websites on my Facebook pages and Instagram pages as well. So, Sherelle, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
All right, take it easy. Now, of course, with Sherelle Swain of the Next Level Foundation, we'd like to thank her for joining us, for joining the program. I will see you or hear from you or both tomorrow night as we broadcast live from D.C. Reynolds Bar, 3628 Georgia Avenue, Washington, D.C. So long.